So today I am to talk about some calculation about the elementary charge density excitation in graphene nanoribbons. And this work has been done in collaboration with Ferti. So the idea is the following. First of all, I will review very quickly the electronic properties of different graphene nanoribbons, in particular the so-called armchair and six-stack nanoribbons. Then I will introduce the approximation I will use for obtaining the collective excitation in this system, which is going to be the random phase approximation. And I go to show results in calculation for the case of the armchair nanoribbon. And finally, we'll make some comment of what happened in the six-stack nanoribbon. So this is the input, which is well known, but I'm going to repeat. Is in the K dot P approximation for describing the band structure of graphene, we can describe the low energy physics and the long wavelength physics of graphene using this equation, which is similar to the Dirac equation. In principle, there are four entries which correspond to two valleys, the K and the K prime, and the two kind of atoms in graphene, A and B. In principle, if you have no defect, this the low energy physics of the two valleys are decoupled, and you have this Hamiltonian. You can solve this Hamiltonian very easily, and then you obtain a linear dispersion where gamma is the Hopping parameter or something like that, A not is the lattice parameter, and X can be plus and minus, which correspond to the valence band, the conduction band. The wave function, they are not coupling. Of course, the energy is generated in the valley index. The wave function have this form, one for one valley, another for the valley, and there is a PR, a chirality or helicity in these phases, theta of k, which is given by this expression. And this chirality implies that when you move in one direction, the isospin of the wave function is rotating, okay, or it's perpendicular to the direction of motion. So this is the Hamiltonian for bulk, and now I want to see how are the electronic properties of nanoribbons. In particular, I will discuss the case of the armchair nanoribbon. In the armchair nanoribbon, I consider a system which is invariant in the y direction, so that means the momentum in the y direction is a good quantum number, and there is a and the termination is formed by dimers of atoms of type A and B. The boundary condition in this situation implies that the wave function in this atom had to be zero in A and B. This is a strong boundary condition which can be satisfied because with this geometry in the reciprocal space, the K and the K prime are the same point. So we can mix the valleys without problem. So using this mixing the valleys, we can satisfy that the amplitude of the wave function on atom A or in atom B had to be zero here and here. With this condition, I obtain this wave function where the both valleys are missed by the boundary condition. And this is the wave function. And the energy of the different wave function is given by this expression. And it appears and the possible values of the momentum in the transversal direction are quantized just due to the boundary condition. And the possible values of Kn are given by this expression, which depend on n. Okay, this is very similar to a standard semiconductor. It's interesting to note that for nanoribbons with this width, with a width of the form 3n plus 1, the system is metallic because you can have one wave vector corresponding to Kn equal to 0. Otherwise, the system is a semiconductor. And now I plot here a particular case of the band structure for one armchair nanoribbon, where you can see the different subbands. In the case of one metallic nanoribbon, where there is, and this is a problem with the problem, where there is not gap and the system is metallic.
Is it one dimensional level of K KY you are setting, but
KY is a good quantum number. So you have a plane wave in the y direction, and you have confinement mode.
It's real semiconductive. This it's confined in one direction. It's not particle in the box. So there are propagating.
It's a particle in a quantum wire.
Yeah. So there are propagating modes.
Yes.
Yeah. So it's one-dimensional channel essentially.
Yeah.
Okay. So, but it's not semiconductive.
There is gap. So it's semiconductor if you want to say.
So this is semiconductor, you have a gap.
No, but if you have a propagating mode in one direction, then it's
Okay.
So you put the energy.
So,
okay, if you agree with me that gallium arsenide is a semiconductor, this is a semiconductor, because when you put carriers in gallium arsenide, they propagate. But you need to put carriers. This is the same case. If the Fermi energy is here, it's a question of name.
So there are no states there. But on the previous slide, what I'm confused, you say that it's KY is a good quantum number. If you take a semiconductor gallium arsenide two-dimensional electron gas and make it narrow, it will be still metal propagating KY direction. So,
but there is a problem with the look. Okay. Now the other case, which the string case corresponds to the zigzag nano ribbon. So in that case, you have it's invariant again in the y direction. I define the y direction, but the termination in one of the edges is just formed by atoms of type A, and the other termination of atoms is type B. In that case, in this geometry, the two points K and K prime keeps being an equivalent, so you cannot, in principle, you cannot mix them easily. But you don't need to mix them in any case, because the boundary condition you have to satisfy is that the wave function in this edge or in this edge had to be zero. So this is a less restricted boundary condition than before, and this can be satisfied easily for each value independently, and this is the wave function for one value in particular. Again, there is a quantization in the energies. The energies are given by this expression, which depend on Cn, which in principle can be a complex number. And this Cn can take only quantized value. And these values are obtained by this transcendental equation of this form. So basically, we have to obtain W, and we solve this equation, and we obtain all the values of Cn, in the wave function and the energy. But this is not so simple. This is completely, in principle, is different than semiconductors. And the reason is because with this geometry, for each value of KY, we have to obtain the value of Cn. So the motion in the x direction and in the y direction are not decoupled. So for each value of KY, you have a different value of Cn, you have a different wave function in the x direction. This is completely different to the other case. Another difference is that if you look to this transcendental equation, you see when W is very large, there is some solution which corresponds to have Cn equal to Ky. In this situation, or close to Ky, in this situation you have energies which have very close to zero, which correspond to this famous surface state. And here I plot some band structure for this system, where you can see both valleys that correspond to a standard, very similar to, this correspond to confined states, similar to the case of the armchair, but you also have some surface states close to the K and K prime valley. Okay. So the question is just to analyze this the collective excitation corresponding to this nano ribbon. And the approximation I'm going to use is the standard one, which is very well known, and this is basically the random phase approximation. In this approximation, the polarizability is approximated by the sum of all these diagrams, and this is pi naught is the bar polarization, and bq is the Coulomb interaction. So this is a simplified version of the RPA. And the qualitative excitation are obtained by the zeros of the dielectric constant. So this is the thing I'm going to do. So I'm going to start with the armchair. So in this case of the armchair, the allowed values of Kn are given by this expression. So I have a n which is basically a band index, and I can define a dielectric tensor which has this expression, where I, G, N, N is a band index. So here should be a pi, a zero, but this is the same. Pi is the bar polarizability for electrons in the M and N band, which have this expression, this form. This is the standard one in RPA. And the only thing which is different is a factor here, which is the square of the overlap of the isospin wave function, which have this form. Here, S and S prime is the balance of conduction character of the wave function, and theta is the angle formed by Kn and Ky with a vector Kn Ky with a vector Kn Ky plus Q. Okay? Which basically this reflects the chirality of the wave function. The Coulomb interaction in that case takes this form and basically depends on the subband index of the incoming and outgoing electron. So you can make this interaction. This in any case is rather complicated because you have to include a lot of subbands. But if you analyze the real Coulomb interaction which appears, you can obtain that the Coulomb interaction I saw before only depends on the difference in the band index of the on the incoming and outgoing electrons. So it depends on the Y minus G M minus N. And also depends on the Coulomb interaction you have to use. But you basically have, as you mentioned, one-dimensional problem. So the Coulomb interaction is the one-dimensional Fourier transform or the real three-dimensional Coulomb interaction, which takes this form. Depends on Q, and basically is 2E squared over epsilon naught. Epsilon naught should be the electric constant of the background, whatever value it takes. The K naught is the a Bessel function, is the second kind Bessel function, which diverge when Qx go to zero. In particular, when Q goes to zero, this wave function is equal to the log of Q times x. This is good because now I can plot the value of the Coulomb interaction between different subbands as a function of Q omega. And I can see that the only term we diverge is the corresponding to B node node. So when the incoming electron and the outgoing electron become to the same, belong to the same subband index. So in all the calculation, the more the stronger effect appear when you have transition between this subband with the same subband, between this correspond to n equal to 1 to n, if you wish n equal minus 1 to n equal to 1, n equal minus 2 to n equal 2, and so on. So these are the more important contribution, the more important contribution to the electric constant, because the electron-electron interaction diverges as small values of Q. So we can restrict our electric constant to this transition, and we can look numerically, I'm going to escape all the details, of the qualitative excitation. And here, we are going to call plasmon. And the first result is that there are not plasmon there are not qualitative excitation associated to transition. There are not qualitative excitation associated to transition from this subband to this other subband. And the reason for that is because they are a continuum or electron hole pairs, and any kind of qualitative excitation is damped in this continuum. So we don't observe any qualitative excitation. So there are only qualitative excitation associated with the transition between n equal to minus 1 to n equal to 1. Only in the metallic, of course, only in the metallic and share an orribon. Okay. This is the first result. So this is the black line, correspond to the quality excitation. I plot here Q as a function of omega. And for small values of Q and omega, you can believe me, they behave like Q, the square root of minor log Q, which is the standard.
Doped semiconductor?
No, it's undoped.
Undoped.
I will comment that.
Density
with respect the Dirac point is zero. But this is okay. So this is interesting. I have a plasmon, and the first question is, well, why this plasmon is not damped in the lowest sigma? And also from the polarizability, I can compute all kind of electron hole per excitation, and this is this line. So there is not a continuum of electron hole per excitation associated with this subband. There is only one line, and this is a straight line. This is some kind of surprise, but it's easy to understand. You just remember that in the polarizability there was some kind of overlap due to the chirality. This overlap is important because in the case where you are in the lowest subband, which corresponds to Kn equal to zero, this chirality takes this form, and now theta is the angle forming between Ky and Ky plus Q. That implies that in the subband, you only can have transition between from right moving electron to right moving electron, or from left moving electron to left moving electron. But you cannot make a transition from left moving to right moving. This is not allowed just due to the chirality. The chirality is much more stronger in 1D than in 2D. I think it's similar to that. The only difference, I believe, is that in that case, both values are one on top of the other in the metallic nanotubes are in different places in the reciprocal space. Okay, so this is enough. So these are the only plasmons which correspond to transition in this subband. I can analyze, now I can make more simplification in the model in order to analyze more carefully this plasmon. So now I'm going to restrict all my Hilbert space just to these two subbands, and I'm going to approach the interaction to the log Q, I'm going to change K naught by Q log Q, I'm going to change K naught by log Q. In that case, I can obtain analytically one expression for the plasmon. And I obtain this one. So it's in fact, I can obtain it analytically, and including a chemical potential at temperature. So it's very easy to do. And this is the general expression for the plasma. Of course, assuming that you are in the limit of long wavelength. This will be capital W. This is the thickness of the nanoribbon. So from this expression, I obtain that the plasmon disperses as Q square root of minus log Q. That is the one-dimensional result. But the thing which is interesting and is a novelty is that the plasmon frequency is independent of the density in the nanoribbon. So this is, again, due to the linear dispersion of the electron. And this is completely different to the case of semiconductor, because in a quantum wire, the dependence of the plasmon is the square root of the one-dimensional density. Similar effects happen also in graphene in 2D, because the plasmon in graphene depends on the two-dimensional density 1 over 4 instead of the square root of the two-dimensional density. So it's something that is also happened something similar in graphene.
What's the difference with
nanotubes?
Because it's very similar.
I should be the same, but I didn't look at the literature.
Okay, so I just found that someone already calculated.
No, I didn't. At least not in my knowledge. The plasma nanotubes. Okay, maybe I don't know.
But in the liquid starts from that.
Okay, maybe it's from.
the dispersion reaction is like this, there is no plasmon and the velocity actually defined in this equation, right?
Yeah, the proton part has been with the same speed, so you can know that.
And the typical story in an algae for the Latin American is you have this idea, but at the end of the day, you have the different plasmon velocities.
Yeah.
There is no spin
here.
There is not a spin yet. So this is just the RPA. This results indicates in some sense that the absence of the dependence on density also indicates that there is not backscattering in this system, just due to the chirality. Also, in graphene, it has been claimed that when you increase the temperature, you create electron hole pairs, and eventually you can have a thermoplasmon created by temperature. It's in nanoribbon, this is not the case. When you increase the temperature, you only modify slightly the dispersion, but you don't create extra excitation. Of course, this is a trivial thing, but the dispersion of the plasmon depends strongly on the thickness of the nanotube, so that could be one tool to characterize the nanorim. So this was for the armchair and finishing. So the question is, what happened with the zigzag and nanoribbon? And the situation here is much more complicated. And the reason for that is because the motion in the x direction depends strongly on the value of ky. So there is a big coupling between both directions. So that's produced that you have to define one generalized directive constant which depends not just on the band index but also on the wave vector. So you cannot simplify this expression. The reason for that is because the interaction between one incoming electron with a wave with subband I and wave vector ky and interact with another electron with wave vector ky prime depends on ky and depends on ky prime. So you cannot go further of this expression. You cannot simplify it. So this is very bad. Even say, well, let's suppose I simplify and I want to study just the low energy cases and I just consider these two subbands, the lowest energy and the highest energy subband. Even in this case, it's not possible to simplify the expression. This is rather complicated. But we can make some estimation. The first thing we can obtain is that for these subbands, you compute the Coulomb interaction for these two subbands. The term which is proportional to log Q is cancelled. It's exactly zero. So that's important because there is not going to be a Q dependence of the low energy plasmon. So the energy, when Q goes to zero, the plasmon had to be finite. So it cannot go to zero just because of this cancellation. And the second thing is, well, you can estimate the electron hole pair continuums associated with these two subbands. And you, basically something like the plotted here. And those all the region here is K minus K prime from here to here for this momentum. You can generate a lot of electron hole pair excitation. Yes, you can go from here to there or from here to here. So you have a continuum of electron hole excitation. So you can guess that combining that you are not going to have a gapless collective excitation and you have a continuum of electron hole pairs, we conclude that there should be no low energy collective charge density excitation in the zigzag
nanoribbon. What do you expect charge ordering in this case?
Well, I don't expect because there is not a collective excitation. I would not expect to have some kind of softening or anything.
No, charge ordering.
Well, but this will be associated with some kind of softening of the collective excitation. And there is not. Okay. So I'm finishing. These are the conclusion. we have studied quality charge density situation in graphene nanoribbons. We obtained that only the metallic and clear nanoribbons support low energy excitation, and those are plasmon with dispersed at the usual plasmon at Q, square root of minus log Q, but this excitation, the intensity of this plasmon are independent of the density of carriers in the system. And that's it.
I think I might have missed something. So these are semiconducting nanotubes, right? And so these are really 1D systems that come from edge states. Is that right? These low energy modes?
The low energy modes came from this metallic subband. Are not edge states.
Okay, so this is a case where it's not a semiconductor because of the pi star. Okay.
Only for the metallic
and metallic nanotube, so to speak.
Yeah. So question 9, when you go to large down this assembly beam, so the expected fine bulk can you connect that to the plasma departure, the nanoribbon to that?
Well, I can connect formally. It's not a problem. So you have to diagonalize a tensor, which is infinite. Numerically, it's a problem because you have to combine a lot of excitation. But it's not.
Because what you showed us was that there was a quite big qualitative difference also between a zigzag and nanoribbon.
Yeah.
The
bulk limit is complicated to do numerically. Conceptually, it's not. What happened is the following. First of all, the nanoribbon becomes very wide. All the separation in energy becomes narrow, so you have to include and you have to mix all the collective excitation. Secondly, this curvature disappears, and then the chirality in transition between higher subbands increases, so you are going to they are going to appear more and more modes and more continuous. So it's very complicated to do numerically, but conceptually it's possible.
There was this paper from quite recently that you open a gap even for zigzag. Can you remember?
I cannot. I mean, yes, it's very, they make some DFT ab initio cell consistent calculation.
It's very important for unlike carbon.
No.
I think they have also an electric field
No.
They definitely shift one surface at one.
You probably know
the nature paper where they claim that there was Kisra Plata where they just calculate the gap for both cases, and in both cases the gap appears.
But in any case, it's a spin thing.
No. One is about ferromagnetism and the other is about the gap. No, it's appeared.
Yeah, so if you do a mean field theory, you'll always get it.
They don't put in combat, Paco, so you miss it.
So you wrote some continuum in final transparency.
Yes.
Yeah. That continuum is actually more sparse.
This one?
That continuum is actually not like with this, but because of the finite width of the river, it's more like there is some space, right?
Some spaces.
Yeah, above the zero. I mean, it looks like very two-dimensional continuum, but I think it is more.
Well, this is a schematic feature. The thing I want to plot here is that for zero frequency, you can you have transition for all.
Can be observed, can be totally damped by that continuum,
Okay, this is a continuum. There is not any windows for plasma, so I think it's going to be damped. This is the guess. We have no.
What's the Q dependence of the light band?
Pardon?
For the other case where you had a mode, what's the Q dependence of the light band?
I did not compute it.
So any kind of little bit of second neighbor interaction, anything will give dispersion to that. So the strictly flat thing is artifact.
Well, yeah. Do you include second neighbor interaction, or you have some perturbation at the edge, or whatever? The first thing is going to happen is you're going to have some curvature,
yes,
in this state, and then you have to recalculate everything, including at least the Hartree approximation. But okay, this is a good point. But at the moment, we are just considering this.
It's interesting to point out that when you apply a time reversal breaking perturbation, as in my old 88 paper, that's how any edge of this will turn it, will have chiral edge states. And in the zigzag case, of course, they just, there's a question of which of whether the bound states attached to the lower, the conduction band or the valence band. But the reason that you must get a state is that when you get edge states, when you break time reversal, there's pre-existing edge states.